From Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode 115, recorded March 19th, 2026, a date I will always remember. I'll tell you about that at the end. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell, and I am joined once again by the man from under the knife and injury territory himself, Will Carroll. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going? And I don't think we can wait. We have to lead off with this.
All right. I'll do it now then. This is my programming note. I'm on linear television today, which is the wrong thing for Downstream. But on the day we record this, March 19th. But the good news is tomorrow I will also be streaming. So that's good. So I'm on Jeopardy. For those who don't know, people who've listened in my other places already know this, but I'm on the March 19th episode of Jeopardy, perfectly timed for the first day of March Madness, so a lot of preemptions out there too. But the good news, as I think reported here, Jeopardy is on next day on Hulu and Peacock. So if you are a Hulu or Peacock person in the U.S., you should be able to get my episode tomorrow, March the 20th, and that's the most Downstream appropriate thing, I think. I will be streaming.
I'm excited about this. Now, I remember it was a couple days ago where you said, hey, it'll be on Hulu and Peacock. And I was like, why is it on both?
It is. So I think, first off, it was a big fight with affiliates to let them do this at all. And that's why it's next day. And then it's funny. So it's a Sony show distributed by CBS, although there's a whole like lawsuit thing going on about that. Anyway, it's a Sony show. And so Sony wants to make money with the streaming rights. And although in most markets, it is on ABC. And in fact, on my tape day, they had to do two endings of every show because Ken would have to promote the Jeopardy show that is on primetime on ABC, but only on ABC affiliates. And so he had to do a different goodbye for the non-ABC affiliates. So Disney Plus Hulu kind of made sense. So they put it on Hulu.
Right.
But they want more money. And it turns out that that NBC Universal also was happy to pay for a share of the rights to get Jeopardy reruns. So they are in on it too. It is funny, right? But the answer is that Sony is what Julia always called a content arms dealer. They're happy to sell to the highest bidder. And in this case, they must have calibrated that they could make more money from a non-exclusive deal than from an exclusive deal. So here we are.
It makes sense. It's just, it's always so odd because it used to be, you know, Hulu was a functionally ABC and Fox. Was it Fox?
I mean, it was everything for a while, but in the end, it was ABC, Fox, and a little bit of NBC, actually. NBC was the last partner there.
Yeah, it was CBS All Access, which is now Paramount Plus,
right.
Plus whatever.
Yep.
And it's so goofy. And it even comes into sports, which I know we're leading with.
It does. It does. Well, because you're here, I like to do a real sports corner. And so let's start there with, I want to talk about F1, Formula One, for those who do not know, the racing, the international auto race circuit. And this year in the United States only, Apple TV Plus has taken, or sorry, it's not Plus anymore. Apple TV has taken over the coverage from ESPN. And there are some other interesting wrinkles here. I covered a little bit of this with Joe, but Joe doesn't want to hear anything about sports, so it was very much just me kind of talking into the void. So I will share it with you too. Apple. So the sense I get is that ESPN was happy to use this content as filler. They were the previous U.S. licensee, but that Apple, having worked with F1 on the Oscar-winning now F1 movie, F1 the movie, because it won for sound, because that movie has so much sound in it.
Great sound.
So much sound. So they work closely together, and Apple said, why don't we be your U.S. partner? And I think they were happy to have a partner who cared more. Not that ESPN hated it, but I get the real vibe that, like, it was content to fill holes for ESPN. And Apple cares more about it.
Odd times. You know,
well, that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of these races are in the middle of the night in the United States.
Yeah, and the middle of the night for Europe, where they're mostly produced. Everything's British. The F1 official feed in English, with the oddly named Alex Jake, is, that's all in English. There is, I'm told, other feeds, which Apple doesn't have.
Apple has just Spanish and French for the U.S. market.
Yeah. And
I think French.
But there's an Arabic feed. There's all sorts of
Yeah, it's like the Olympics. They do really a world good. Feed, yeah. And they're feeding it out, and that's why what Apple's primary coverage is a feed of F1 announcers that are from F. It's like getting the Olympic English announcer feed. There is also separately a Sky Sports unique feed from the UK,
which is what everyone was used to with ESPN, and was throwing people off that they weren't going to have Crofty and Brundle. Right.
So they do,
and. Yeah,
they do. They offer both of those.
It's just a separate feed.
It's just a separate feed. Feedback. So, and they've got a big multi-view that they added, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The one piece of feedback I've gotten is because of the time delay. What I've heard, I haven't tried this myself. What I've heard is if you want to watch the race, you know, shifted on replay, they don't shift the multi-view, which I think is a mistake. I understand why it might be an issue technically, but you should be able to set up a multi-view that is itself time shifted, I think, or at least they should bake in some multi-views. I don't know. There's some work to be done there, but I think Apple is a more excited partner than ESPN. I did a little conference call with a bunch of Apple and F1 people about this. And one of the things that Eddie Q, the SVP of services at Apple, said is they thought the quality would be good. The quality does look good. One of Apple's mm-hmm. tricks with all this stuff, Apple does less compression of the video. They're willing to use more bandwidth. So the videos that are streaming look better. People don't understand, too, if you're getting a traditional like ESPN signal through your cable company, a lot of cable and satellite companies will recompress and down-res images in order to fit their bandwidth on their system. And so you might not even be getting the 720p signal that ESPN has as its primary. You may be getting something even less than that. Whereas on Apple, you're going to get up to 4K HDR 5.1 of the broadcast. And so even the MLB, my understanding is that this year they're using a 4K truck. I heard that through the grapevine. And so it may look way better, but even the last few years when it was done in 1080, it looked really good. And that was because they were doing HDR. So they had the mm-hmm. better color space and because they weren't compressing as much. So I think F1 looks better than ever for United States viewers.
I agree. I think the racing has been terrible, but that's outside Apple's control. Yeah. The one thing that, you mentioned Apple doing baseball. I hear Peacock is doing their real-time 4K for their baseball. Huh. I don't even know which games they're doing. But they used it during the Olympics, and it was nice. I'm not sure the real-time was significantly better than the regular 4K for me.
So it's a less buffered 4K stream? Is that the idea?
I think so. Mm. I honestly didn't hear a good explanation of what it was, but I'll take the name at its... its word.
Yeah, I mean, that's my guess is that less buffering, maybe like fewer CDNs, so it's going to be content delivery network nodes, so that you can get the latency down if you so choose. It's funny watching YouTube TV. YouTube TV actually has a setting that lets you say, do you want this to be more latency, more delayed, or more instant? And you're like, why wouldn't you want it to be more instant? And the answer is because if there's a network hiccup, it's going to look weird or stop or whatever. Yeah. I have that setting turned on. It's never been a problem for me. And it's really nice to be not, you know, a minute behind or whatever when I'm watching a sporting event.
Right. Surprisingly, and this is off topic, but the Mets of all people are doing a real time radio feed.
Yeah.
And that has to be for the gamblers.
Yeah, that's my
guess. I know people think that's nice, just a stadium amenity. Experience. Guarantee you that's there's something about in-stadium gambling. Yeah. I'll be very curious to see how that goes. But back to F1, Apple, it just doesn't seem very Apple so far to me. You know, I'm used to Apple being the highest quality, everything on Apple TV, even the shows I don't so much enjoy, which have been few and far between, honestly. I think they have very good taste.
Yeah.
They're obviously working with very high quality people. But this one just, it seems like, not like ESPN where they just wanted the content. This one just doesn't seem like Apple's had much time to put their fingers on it, that they haven't been able to do a whole lot that's, I don't know if we need different, but to me, it just doesn't seem Apple. And then the fact that they're doing this IMAX deal where they're showing a couple races where they did the content deal with Netflix.
Right.
Netflix now gets a race. I'm still getting the terms. Yeah. The Canadian of all things, yeah. Which I think is because of the timing.
It's because it's Indy 500 weekend and it's a and it's an event yeah. during the day in the U.S., which I think they like, and also because it's a U.S. content trade, and one season of Drive to Survive gets to be on Apple TV. I thought that was a really Apple and Netflix have had a kind of fraught relationship in terms of streaming stuff, and so for them to step up and do this deal because they're both basically prominent F1 partners in the United States, I think that was a smart move. But I think you're right. So Apple, I think Apple does want to make its mark, but I think Apple also realizes that this is a bit of a test case, and they also have a partnership with F1, so I think they're happy to take a lot of F1 stuff. Like the Olympics, there is only so much personalization you can do, but they haven't. My gut feeling is they're going to see how this goes, and they're going to start, like they did with Friday Night Baseball, they're going to start rolling things in over time. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So like Vision Pro is an interesting example where all they did on Vision Pro is add another screen so you can do a pentabox instead of a quad box. I'm a little surprised, given that there was an app that did this a year ago that got shut down, that they didn't acquire that app and haven't mm-hmm. been working with F1 to build this app where it puts a virtual racetrack in Vision Pro in addition to the screens so that you can see what's going on a racetrack instead of on a screen showing the racetrack. And my gut feeling is they'll probably do that, but they'll probably do that later in the season or next season, and that they're just going to kind of take it slow. I do believe long term that if this goes well, who knows what their metrics are. They said that more people watched the first race than watched on ESPN, but they won't give any numbers. They just said that. So we'll have to take that and evaluate it as we want. But I do believe what Apple thinks long term is if this goes well, they're just going to keep buying rights in other markets as they come up for bid, and they'll just expand their presence. And the more markets they're in, the more their investment pays off if they try to do custom things.
The one thing that surprised me so far is that there's not more cameras. These Apple specific cameras that they built for F1, the movie.
It's tough because you can't put cameras on cars because it'll affect the, other than the ones they've already got. You can't put special cameras on cars.
But this year they changed the cars completely. They new did. Engines, new rules, new everything. So they knew this. So they could have worked it in, and they had worked with F1 to put the cameras on cars for the movie. So I don't think this was a huge hardship. And if you're going to do it for all 22 cars. Yep. On the grid, it's at least equal. It's not like you're putting 2 pounds on one.
I admit I'm a little surprised that the new car design didn't, I mean, maybe it did and we don't know, and I'm not an expert in this, but more affordance for camera equipment going forward, knowing that this new design, because then you could do it. There are cameras on there. I this is where I think the challenge is that they're taking the international broadcast feed, but I agree, I'm a little surprised that there isn't a little extra. So like what you see with the Olympics and what you see with Sky is they do a lot of double boxes where they've mm-hmm. got the international feed that they take, and then they've got their camera. So like a curling at the Winter Olympics, NBC was taking the international feed, but they had a camera of their own there and a reporter in the rink who would interview people and talk, and they would show her often in a double box. And that's how you do that. And it seems like that's the part that I'm surprised by, that this is straight up F1 TV that Apple's using, and not like an Apple broadcast that is added to by some extra Apple-y things. They're right. just, and maybe, frankly, maybe the relationship is so good with F1 that they would rather integrate iPhones around the track or whatever, because they probably will, and have it be integrated in the F1 TV feed for the world. And they'll say that's on an iPhone that we're using because Apple's a partner. Because Apple can be a technology partner for the broadcast worldwide, separately from Apple being the U.S. broadcaster. And I wonder if that's the route they'll go down.
I'm very curious because, again, they've got this deal with Netflix. They've got a deal with IMAX to show a couple of them.
Yeah.
There's already a deal. I don't know whose deal it is. It's got to be between F1 and COSM that they're going to show a couple. That's the big kind of planetarium kind of 3D.
It's like sphere light.
Sports bar. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's the one in LA. And I know it's expanding out. I'd love to see one of those sometime.
There's one coming to Indianapolis, supposedly in 2027. We'll see whether that happens as part of the new Simon complex. But you know, why not more on Vision Pro?
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see, but so far I'm happy with it, but I'm not delighted with it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what they do. I think they're patient and it's early days. And I do think that it matters to them. And like I said, they're also still doing their Friday Night Baseball. And like I said, I have heard that that's going to be, it's a 4K truck now with 4K cameras. So they're going to, it should actually look a lot better than the previous one, which looked pretty good. It should actually look better. We'll see what they do there. More on baseball in a minute, but I wanted our next topic to be about the FCC. This is a story that you wanted to talk about, and I think it's worth talking about, even though it's not about streaming, but it is about streaming, because what the FCC is asking for comment for and investigating, and you can read into it what you want, I think it's pretty clear, is this was the statement from Brendan Carr of the FCC. For decades, Americans enjoyed turning on their TV and quickly finding the game they wanted to see. Yet watching your favorite team play isn't as easy these days. Many games are still on broadcast, but an increasing number are on a range of different online platforms. So they're investigating this idea. Because the FCC only regulates broadcast, it feels to me like what they're really talking about investigating here is nefarious broadcasters shifting games off of broadcast onto streaming and how that harms people. I fail to see how this is the FCC's business, but we live in a world where they can rattle their sword and yell as much as they want about whatever they feel right now. Brendan Carr has no shame. So here we are.
Yeah. What do you exactly think? That's where I think he's going to overstep. But sure. I think what he's going to push for is kind of the same thing that they do with the NFL, where all the games that are local have to be released to at least the local markets. So you'll see games that are on the ESPN Monday night game. If it happens to be the Colts that are in it, it will always be on the ABC affiliate here as well.
Exactly.
And I don't know how that's regulated, whether that's an NFL thing, whether that's...
No, the NFL mandates that the local team's game is shown in the local market on broadcast.
Kind of the opposite of MLB.
Right. Well, that's the problem, honestly, right? Although, I mean, Julia and I talked about this a lot. The idea that there are so many broadcast stations out there in every market at this point, and that in some cases teams that have lost their RSN deal, I think it's the Phoenix Suns, they made a deal with a local broadcaster in Phoenix, because that gets them, they have a separate streaming offering that they have out there, but they also made a deal with a local station that gets them ad revenue. And that gets them on cable instantly because they're on that TV channel. And it's like being on the radio. You've got a local radio station that's your partner.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, that's a logical progression here. And again, I feel like this is a real overstep by the FCC, but it certainly wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if every baseball game had to be shown on over-the-air broadcast locally, except the fact is almost none are right now in most markets. They're all RSN. This isn't just about streaming. It's also about cable. Here in the Bay Area, the Giants are on NBC Sports Bay Area, a cable channel. And there are a handful of games. I think Friday nights are on the local NBC affiliate, but that's it, right? And so it's not even about streaming. It's just about they're putting those games somewhere where they can make more money.
Yeah. I think this one feels like it's about the NBA's deal where there are so many things where you look at that chart that they put, the NBA put out, and it's like, okay,
but baseball is headed there too.
Amazon.
Baseball is headed there too.
I agree. And I think between subscription fatigue, I think for Carr, this is, nobody's against him here. You know, there's no political cost. It kind of feels a little bit of like old man shaking fist at cloud. Yeah,
but it's a little shaming. I think it's the public shaming of broadcasters for example, of NBC hiding games on Peacock.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to see more and more of that. I think opening night is on Netflix for MLB. which is right. still weird. I think it'll be interesting, especially since they have their own crew. But
if you're a Giants fan or a Yankees fan, if you're a Giants fan or a Yankees fan, and you're really excited about that opening night game, and you're not a Netflix subscriber, you don't get to see it.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't get to see it. That's it. There's no alternative to that. That is an exclusive. It's just on Netflix. And that's been true of Sunday Night Baseball. That's true of Apple's Friday Night Baseball. And this has been a complaint all along. I don't know what the alternative is. I guess the alternative is saying, well, yeah, but for the local market, it needs to go somewhere. You got to put it somewhere in the local market too. Does Netflix, I mean, if you're Netflix, you're like, yeah, but we like the fact that these two very large TV markets are the homes of the opening night teams so that we can get lots of viewers in New York and the Bay Area. Well, that's going to be an issue in future contract negotiations, but I don't know, something to watch. It's not a problem, right? Like, it is very frustrating as a baseball fan to know that, like, there are the Netflix games and there's the Apple games and there's the NBC games, but sometimes there are the Peacock games and there's the ESPN games, and then there's whatever has replaced your RSN perhaps games. It's a lot.
It is.
This episode of Downstream is brought to you by Factor. There's nothing quite like that first warm weekend and realizing shorts season is getting close. Oh, it's here in California right now. If you want to feel your best this spring and summer, Factor is on hand to make eating well a part of your routine with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, ready in 2 minutes. No planning, no cooking. With Factor, you can expect quality ingredients, lean proteins, colorful vegetables, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. It's the stuff you'd make if you had the time. No refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, no refined seed oils. My favorite? Well, I'm going to tell you my favorite that I order for my mom, pesto salmon. She loves the pesto salmon. She can't get enough. Sometimes I order her more than one. It's true. There's a lot of variety. You'll never get bored. Over 100 different rotating weekly meals, including options for people who need high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready to eat salads. There's even a Muscle Pro collection for strength and recovery. Factor meals are always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress. Couldn't be easier. Shows up at my door or my mom's door. My mom has issues cooking for herself, so we just get her good meals from Factor. And I can't think of a better endorsement than that. And she loves the salmon and also the chicken meals. Just they hit the spot and they're so easy. She can microwave it herself in a couple of minutes. Go to factormeals.com/downstream50off. And use that code downstream50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. That's right. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Make healthier eating easy with Factor. Factormeals.com/downstream50off and use the code downstream50off. Thank you to Factor for supporting this show and all of Relay. Let's talk about the World Cup just because it's a huge broadcast event. Fox has got it on all of its platforms. World Baseball Classic, I noticed an interesting kind of collection of Fox using broadcast, cable. Mm-hmm. It's got its streaming app, which it put all the games on. And then also it put it on Tubi. There were games on Tubi, which Fox owns.
Tubi.
So interesting. The World Cup will have a similar thing. So this is a thing you wanted to mention just because it's interesting to see, like, we don't really know what's going to happen with the World Cup. It seems like Iran is out now and they're going to have to find a replacement team there. And there's a question of, like, this is bringing back like 1980 and 84 Olympic boycott vibes. And the Olympics are in 2 years too. So we've got that going on as well about other teams dropping out, moving games because of, and you could talk about like immigration stuff because of Trump policy stuff, because of the war in Iran, because of other wars previous and to come perhaps, or whatever, invasions or incursions or whatever you want to say, in a time of unrest. I mean, as kids, you always learn about like, oh, they didn't play baseball during the war and the Olympics didn't happen during the war and things like that. And then of course the boycotts. It makes you wonder, you know, what the logistical problems maybe in pulling off a World Cup in the United States in 2026 and Canada and Mexico, but primarily the US.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton. And I think it's that Canada and Mexico thing that's going to be interesting. Are there going to be teams that say, you know, I'd rather play in Mexico? Thanks, but no thanks. I realize for the finals, they're going to be in the US, though I don't know that's written in stone. Would somebody actually protest that much? We've already seen that they've stopped teams in the CONCACAF Champions League because it was Dominican team, but many of the players were Haitian, and they didn't allow them to come in. So that game was called off and basically became a bye. So Iran is obviously not in a position to send anybody anywhere. The whole Middle East is basically on a ground halt.
Yep.
There's a number of teams, Spain, huge, Germany, not exactly saying friendly things. And behind all this, here's the interesting one that not a lot of people know. They don't have a drug tester right now. The U.S. has not paid its fees to the World Anti-Doping Agency for years. Huh. And so they actually are saying that the event can't go on. Travis Tygart and USADA is saying, of course it can. We're perfectly fine. No, it's not a world sanctioned body. That's exactly the Icarus problem of letting a country run its own drug testing. If anybody hasn't seen that, I think that's still on Netflix. About the Sochi Olympics, where the Russians went to so much length to cheat the drug testing process. It's going to be a problem. And I do think we're going to see security issues like we've seen with Boston, saying, you know, they don't have their stuff. We know DHS. Yeah. If, there's a Mexico game, is ICE going to show up? The why didn't Bad Bunny tour question? There's so many problems that we don't have answers to. And honestly, the World Cup is the least of the problems right now, seemingly, but it's going to come up really, really quick. And people in America, I still don't think grasp how big this is to everybody else. So if we screw it up, it's going to be one of those world-class mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Olympics are right behind it. I will say the World Baseball Classic came off. There were some hitches, but it did come off. There are more hitches about insurance, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's not real well understood. Nobody likes talking about insurance because it's boring. There's only one provider, and so it got a little screwed up. They didn't want to do older players, which is why Miguel Rojas wasn't allowed to play. There are a couple things where they found issues that others didn't. For instance, Francisco Lindor found his hamate fracture. It wasn't even a hamate fracture. It was a hamate stress reaction. And now there's a question around the league about how many players have stress reactions. So there's a ton of things with insurance, with immigration, with security. It's just such a mess, Jason. Such a mess.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you for bringing that topic up. Before we go, a happier topic, maybe TV picks. Talk about some TV shows we want to recommend. What do you have for me?
I got kind of an off the wall one, but this is one that I really got into. It popped up in the algorithm. So thank you, algorithm. It's called Blood Coast. And it's on Netflix. There are two seasons, and it's already been renewed for a third. It is a French show. And the best way I can explain this is if you liked The Wire, it's a lot like that show. I would like to say the writing is as crisp, but I'm not sure that's entirely true just because I don't speak French. I'm just reading along and getting the emotion. But it's a lot like Gomorrah, which was an Italian show about the mafia, or at least the underground. It wasn't the mafia, it was the other one. But Blood Coast is really, really well done. Netflix has done more for international TV. You know, we've talked before about, you know, why can't we see Australian Survivor or other things? And for Netflix, they don't care. They'll show us a Korean show. They'll show us a Danish show. They'll show us a German show. And in this one, it's a really good French cop show, set in Marseille. I would highly recommend that people check it out.
Very nice. Like it.
What have you got?
So this is a show that is currently, I think, only available on the BBC. My understanding is that it just finished airing there. I'm not going to talk about how I saw it, but I have friends in high places, or at least in northerly climes, who helped me out here. So if you're in the UK and you haven't seen it, you should. I thought this was going to be a very, very, I mean, it's a very quirky show. And then I was searching around yesterday and found that its debut actually set a record for an original British comedy in the last like year or something like that. It was the highest rated original British sitcom debut. And I don't know. I guess a lot of people watched it. So great. So here's the story. It's Mackenzie Crook, who people remember as Gareth from The Office. He was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He is also a TV producer, writer, director, and he created one of my literally all-time favorite TV shows, Detectorists, which is a gentle BBC comedy about two middle-aged men who walk around the countryside looking for things in the ground with metal detectors and their world. And it's so sweet and nice and gentle and funny. And he's back, Mackenzie Crook is, and he was one of the co-stars of that. He is a supporting player in this one, but he still wrote it himself, made the show himself. It's six episodes. It's called Small Profits. I imagine it will be on BritBox at some point, but who knows who will buy it in the US. Maybe Netflix should buy it, but it is very much the vibe of Detectorists, but a little bit weirder. There is a supernatural element to it, but still it's primarily just a gentle comedy. It's about a middle-aged man who is in Detectorists, actually, played by an actor who is in Detectorists. It's not the same universe. His name is Michael Sleep. He lives in the house that he and his girlfriend lived in 7 years before she disappeared. They found her car. They never found her. He doesn't believe that she killed herself. He doesn't believe she's dead, but where could she possibly be? So he works at the local Home Depot, essentially, with his friend, a young woman who is also just hilarious, and they are a great combination of just being friends. That's where Mackenzie Crook is, as he's the hapless manager of the home improvement store. And Michael is frequently having to take care of his dad, who is at the local home. His dad is Sir Michael Palin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there's a nosy neighbor. A couple nosy neighbors. There's a sullen kid who rides around in the cul-de-sac in his bicycle. I mean, it's just a collection of characters. It's six episodes, half hour, just sweet, adorable, and a little bit weird. And there will be more because it's been, such a success. I think it's almost undoubtable that undoubtedly more is coming. But Small Profits, PROPHETS, The Small Profits are the supernatural element in this. So check it out if you're in the UK and you haven't yet. It's on iPlayer, and in the US, just keep watching the skies. I think that they are busy selling it to international markets. But if you like Detectorists especially, check it out. And if you have not seen Detectorists, watch it. It will cure what
there was actually a there was a sly reference to it in Ghost recently.
Interesting. I like that. I like when those things happen. They're making a Ghosts UK movie, which I also didn't know, which is very funny because that's where it originated. A lot of crossover, a lot of Taskmaster people in Ghosts and UK, and Taskmaster Sophie Willen is in Small Profits. She was a Taskmaster contestant too. So there's lots of crossover here and
there.
Is
that next for you? You've done Jeopardy. Is Taskmaster next?
Well, you got to be a successful comedian to be on Taskmaster, so it's unlikely, but that would be great.
Well, they've had some oddball people like
I'm not odd enough. I'm no Jason Mantzoukas. I'll put it that way. I'm a different Jason.
But you could be a Hannah Fry.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't think I have another game show in me, but if anybody wants me to be on their game show, they should let me know. Or here's my plug. Or listen to the Incomparables game show podcast, which I am a host of some of those and a player on others. And it's a fun podcast if you're listening for, you want a podcast game show. All right. I think we've reached the end. If you have a question or suggestion, we'd love to hear from you, downstreamfeedback.com. And if you haven't yet, please consider subscribing to Downstream Plus. If you're not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you missed me talking to Will Carroll about so many things about baseball that you probably wanted to hear. Every other episode, more or less, most of the show will be available just for supporters. So go to downstream.plus to support us and get full versions, ad-free, access to the Relay Discord, and more. You can find me at sixcolors.com. I appear on many other podcasts at Relay and theincomparable.com. And you can find me on Jeopardy March 19th or streaming March 20th on Hulu and Peacock. Look, I'm on streaming. Look, Ma, I'm on streaming. You can find Will at undertheknife.substack.com. Is that right?
Correct. That's correct.
Or you can go to YouTube and just search for Injury Territory and you will find it, or wherever your podcasts can be found. That brings us to the end. Will, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time.